When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It's absolutely incredible to be with you guys. Been breaking down a lot of draft tape over on the 49ersrush.com, and I thought it would be good to kind of jump on here and just share new thoughts on the days one and day two, you know, 49ers draft prospects, kind of what that looks like. And not so much, you know, rehashing what I've already put out there, but what are some new takeaways or some takeaways that perhaps were validated or were maybe even incorrect, because you're always trying to shift and change so that you understand exactly what the Niners have in purpose with these picks. And so excited about that. So today we're going to be kind of diving in on Ricky Pearsall, Renardo Green, and Dominique Puni, just trying to get a better grasp of what the tape tells us. You know, if you joined us on the live draft show, which was an absolute blast, or if you listen to other podcasts, everybody's going through and sharing their thoughts on, you know, all the different, you know, PFF draft book and the Beast and NFL Network and all these different things. And those are awesome, and I love all those things. I don't want to do what other people do, and kind of where the whole start of this show starts with is, okay, everybody else is doing this and that's valuable, but like, let's provide something else, or at least try to, at least attempt to. And that's what I want to try to do today. I don't know if we're going to accomplish that goal, but that is kind of the goal. Not that we think we're smarter than everybody else, whatever else. No. I never got into this to do the same thing that, like, I wanted to provide something just a little bit different, even if it's just a little flavor different or whatever else. I don't know. I hope that makes sense. And I want to say thank you to you guys because, man, you know, I didn't even talk about this on the draft show. Every year at the draft, that starts a new year for me. So we just finished year 7. This is the start of year 8. For the 49ers Rush Podcast. We've been doing this for a minute, and it's all because of you guys. I want to say thank you to the hashtag CC, the Countdown Crew community. David, Kevin, Ben, Matt, what's up, guys? Agorist, love it, man. You guys coming in strong. Really, really appreciate you guys. Year in, year out, episode in, episode out, you guys show up. Right here, faithful and grateful. Tape on the draft picks has been fire. We're not stopping. We're just going to keep adding way more tape over on those sites just so you can kind of see what it is we see, and we kind of grow together so that we can see. So when training camp comes, you know what the weaknesses and strengths are of these players. So when you get all those reports and podcasts and write-ups and clips, are they overcoming them or are they succumbing to them, the weaknesses, right? Are they winning with their strengths or are they adapting their game? That's what we want to see. What's up, Eric? How you doing, man? He says Super Bowl 2025. I like that. Colin, my man. Appreciate you, Flynn. And Mike, you're the man. Celestial in the house, too. So that's what I want to do. Now, there was another roster move that took place after the undrafted free agents, after the draft picks. 49ers went and added a tight end who's not in the league, who is not a rookie. He was in the Arena Football League. Tight end Cade Brewer. He was with Texas. I know a lot about this guy. Very, very fun player. He was over at the Nashville Cats for the Arena Football League, and the 49ers called him up. You know, we knew tight end was going to be an issue last year when they drafted not one, but two tight ends, Braden Willis and Cameron Latu. Well, Cameron Latu didn't pan out at all. In fact, he got so bad, Kyle Shanahan kind of made fun of him a little bit, which was, I don't know if he was making fun of the player. I don't think so. I think he was making fun of the reporter, whatever he asked. Like, is Cameron Latu the number two tight end? And I didn't even want to clip it because it was so mean. It was mean. He's like, no. Like, we want players to at least practice first. Like, he made fun of him. I don't think that was really his intent. Maybe to light a fire under his butt, because we've seen Shanahan do that before, the quote-unquote doghouse. Shanahan's not going to pull punches out there, especially if he's got a message to send to you. And I think Latu got that message. Yeah, it's put up or shut up time. Like, they stashed him on the roster with an injury. I'm not saying he wasn't injured. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm telling you right now, that dude could have came back at any time. That dude didn't play because he's just not ready yet. He's just not ready. It was a terrible pick last year in the third round. Hopefully that changes. But you bring in Cade Brewer, who is the opposite of Cameron Latu. 6'4", 230. He's not near as big, but he's somebody that has played a ridiculous amount of football at the tight end position. Jack of all trades guy. He played in 55 career games at Texas. He was there all the time. Now, he was always the tight end two. He was a tight end one some, but you don't want Cade Brewer to be your tight end one. He can catch out of the backfield much better than Charlie Warner, much more athletic, but not near as good a blocker, obviously. He's from the Arena League, but he's a very consistent blocker, and he's going to give you exactly what you want all the time. He was there through several regimes, coaches changes at Texas. Every coach loved him. Every coach loved him. So Cade Brewer comes in, jack of all trades, good blocker, consistent blocker, not a dominant blocker, though. So when we look at the 49ers depth chart at tight end, it's awful. It is terrible, terrible, terrible. By far the worst position. I think that and center, unless you're going to move another prospect to center. Here's my tight end depth chart if John Chapman was setting it today. Kittle, number one, obviously. My number two tight end right now is Braden Willis. I mean, he got snaps in the Super Bowl at tight end. Got a holding call. But, like, he fits what the Niners want. Coachable, tough, versatile, all that stuff. The ceiling just is almost non-existent. And that's the issue with Braden Willis. Braden Willis is a perfect tight end three, not a tight end two. And I think you're going to start to see some rollover at this position. I think they're going to be bringing in a lot of dudes. Number three is Eric Saubert. I think he's three. Number four, Cade Brewer. Number five, dead last, Cameron Latu. Now, Latu's last, but he's got the highest ceiling by a mile over everybody but Kittle. How this shakes out, we'll see. But, man, you go out there with just Kittle and Braden Willis, you're a Kittle injury away from going four wide, man. You drafted two wide receivers. Maybe that's not the end of the world, but I don't know. Shanahan might be forced to adapt or trade or bring in a vet out of retirement. Something. David says, I think he was making fun of the reporter. I like it. Yeah, and sometimes reporters need to be made fun of. Let's just be very, very honest. If you listen to some of the press conferences, yeah, that definitely needs to go that way. What's up, Paul? My man, appreciate you, brother. Always great to see you. He says, you know, really enjoyed the Pearsall game tape breakdown, John. Keep them coming. Yes, sir. David, you know, we're not going to talk too much about Plyne today, but I did like him. He said, I saw a great interview with Plyne's head coach. Sounds like a nice pickup. Yeah, and you know, where you put undrafted free agents in this mix, that's a question. You don't like to count too much on them, but Plyne's got to be at the bottom, and you got to earn it. Now, hopefully he can, and I would love that. That would be Ross Dwelly. That dude, undrafted free agent, that dude's been around for a long time. You can go get Dwelly anytime. No team's going to pick him up. Right here, what about Jennings as a tight end? I don't think Jennings would be willing. Jennings would be willing to do that. And my take on Juwan Jennings has always been, he's not a slot wide receiver. He's a wide receiver plus, which is a term used around the NFL, where they're these hybrid big wide receivers that can block like a beast, but still run the route tree. There's value in it. Cooper Kupp's the best in the NFL at it. Like, he's the wide receiver plus. Puka, you know, he's similar, Juwan Jennings, these big wide receivers that can block defensive ends. Now, if you move Juwan Jennings to tight end two, you're killing that dude's revenue for the rest of his career. I don't think they do that to him. It's his contract year. He's been on the rookie deal, whatever else. You even sandbagged, got a year out of him with that hamstring injury his rookie year. So this is Juwan Jennings' fifth year under contract with the Niners because that one season told his rookie year, true rookie year. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't mind, you know, if you're going to go four wide, but you always keep Jennings in tight or whatever else. But yeah, I'm not adding weight to him. He's not fast as is. So I'm not changing that. I don't want to change his role. He works perfect at his role. I'm not changing that. Now, there was a really good article. Matt Barrows, who just, I by far one of my favorite. I think he just such quality work. He does the yearly interview post-draft with Scott McLaughlin. Scott McLuhan, the former GM of the 49ers, drafted Frank Gore, all that stuff. And so he always sits down with them and just says, you know, what do you think of the Niners draft picks? I'm not going to share much on the article because I want you to go subscribe and read it and support them. Obviously, I don't get paid by The Athletic, but I never want to take away from other people's hard work. I only want to add to it. And so hopefully if I give you a little taste, you'll go check it out. It's funny, you know, you read through it. It just gives like a quick paragraph on each of the players and his thoughts on them. Talked about Ricky Pearsall. Here, quote, this is Scott McLuhan. Quote, he doesn't play big, end quote. That was my number one negative for him is that, you know, Ricky Pearsall, I like him. Was it a reach at 31? I mean, if you had a second round grade on him, you got him 31 overall. The Niners said they had, what, 22 first round grades? I had 24. He was not a first round graded player. For me, he wasn't. But that's what you get at pick 31. Now, you had that cluster of wide receivers all go on top of each other. The Niners chose him over Ladd McConkey, which was a shock kind of to most of the draft world. And McLuhan said, man, McConkey was way better. But that's okay. We'll have to see how those two things pan out. But that was my number one thing, is that Ricky Pearsall, he's big. 6'1", 202, whatever. I don't care. Like, that's good size for a wide receiver in today's NFL. But when he goes over the middle, he's tough as hell. Like, he'll go over the middle and take a hit. That's not what I'm saying. And I don't think that's what McLuhan's saying either. But when Ricky goes over the middle, that dude gets bullied when he doesn't have the ball. So I'm going to play a real quick clip for you, and I'm going to talk you through it. This is what we put up over the 49ersrush.com. This was one of my main concerns when talking about Ricky Pearsall. 6'1", 203. He's big. He's a bigger bodied wide receiver. But I've always felt like whenever I watch him, he is soft throughout his route. And what I mean by that is when players get their hands on him, just gets bodied consistently. Now, South Carolina is one of the most physical teams, you know, in the SEC, just with their style of play, their coaching, and everything else. But, like, this is an issue when people get their hands on him, he struggles. Now, the good news is he's the most shifty wide receiver in this class, had the best three cone of anybody at the combine at the wide receiver position. I mean, so it's not normal that that happens. But when he is redirected, I mean, you can see him. He just gets shoved to the ground with ease. So this could be developed out of a game. You could develop play strength, you know, the weight room. But, man, you look at him, like, he spends time in the weight room. His bench press reps were above average for NFL wide receivers. But, again, you constantly see him getting redirected and just shoved around. And just, like, whenever he gets shoved, he moves. And so he's not playing through. And so that's one of my issues where it's like, ah, you know, can he develop that? Now, Scott McLuhan, back to his write-up. He said he will go over the middle. Like, he is fearless. He's just not strong. Fearless, but not strong. So you can develop play strength, and he's got the body for it. It's just that's one of the things he's got to do better at. And I thought that was one of the ones where I saw it. And I wrote and I've recorded that and I did that whole video way before I read this article. I just read the article this morning, and I was like, ah, he saw the same thing as me. Mm. But you take that. Now, McLuhan was really high on the other 49ers wide receiver, Jacob Cowing. He said, quote, "We'll tear up training camp and 7-on-7," end quote. He said, you know, he went on to just talk about, you know, the 49ers fans are going to love this dude. And I think so, too. Like, he can play everywhere. I think that Jacob Cowing has more positional versatility, even though he only weighs like 100 and whatever pounds. What's Cowing at? Yeah, 168. He weighs 168 pounds.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Cowing can play X. He can play Z. He can play Y or the slot role. He can play them all. Right now, I don't think Pearsall can. I don't think he can yet. We'll see. Now, on the running backs, and this has always been a theme, whichever 49ers running back is drafted first, not as good as the second guy or the undrafted guy. And you can go back to, you trade up for Trey Sermon, Elijah Mitchell's better, right? You get Ty Davis Price, J.P. Mason's better. You get Josh or Joe Williams, guess who's better? Matt Breida, the undrafted free agent. And so whenever we look at, you know, the running backs, you trade 2 fifth rounders to go get Isaac Garendo, who's fast, big-bodied guy. But then you got undrafted free agent Cody Schrader. Scott McLuhan, quote, "It's close. Very close," end quote, between these two running backs. For him, not Shanahan, not saying that's what's going to happen, but we've got a 3-time track record. If somebody told me Isaac Guerrero's not on this roster in 3 years, I'm not terribly surprised. He's got some weaknesses in this game. We'll break down that on a future episode. Cody Schrader's on this, you know, team in 3 years. We'll see. Guerrero's got the ceiling. Schrader's a better player, in my opinion, right now. He's got better tape. He's got more consistent tape. He's got way more tape. But we'll see. That's Scott McLuhan's take. That's not mine. I would be shocked, though. I would not be shocked. We got to see. Bobby Turner's going to work these guys out. We'll see what happens. And the good news is this. The 49ers running back room is strong this year. Next year, we'll see. Because you got to beat out J.P. Morgan first. Then you got to beat out Elijah Mitchell. You do that, you earn some playing time. And that's a meritocracy. And one of these guys do that, man, I would love that. Oh, I would love that. I would love that. Yeah, right here, Colin says, "I saw that clip earlier on the Rush app. I thought he slipped." You know, I'll say this. I mean, he's getting pushed around all the time. So maybe he did slip on that. And that's my fault, but I could show you so many clips where that dude just gets pushed around and bullied at the point of contact nonstop. I like Ricky Pearsall. I'm not trying to like limit the hype on Ricky Pearsall. Please don't take it as that. I'm going to go through a lot of positives here in a second, but I wanted to share McLuhan's take, which that was his take. That overlapped with my take as well. There's a lot of positives, though. And Paul says, "A lot of people excited about that Pearsall Hill Waddle workout video." Yeah, that's cool. You know, take all the football drills, workout, whatever things you can learn from those guys. Nothing off the field. Waddle's clean. No dating advice from Hill, who I think he had 4 kids this past calendar year. No, 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 no. No fatherly advice. No, no, no. I don't know. I get it, and it's exciting to see him work with those guys. I would prefer him not to, personally. I know I'm in the minority of that, and the tapes are cool. I don't know. I know I'm in the minority in this. I'm in the minority. I do not want him around that guy at all. He's a damn good player. Tyreek Hill might be the best wide receiver in the NFL. Probably is. I don't know, man. Hopefully he learns something and comes back positive. I would love that. Bobo, my man, Appreciate the super chat. Kyle has a tendency to sit rookies or not play at all. Do you see Pearsall getting decent playing time next season? Will Mason get more touches too? Mason getting more touches? No. It's stupid. It's stupid. But no. For some reason, Kyle hates JP Mason. He hates him. I think he's a special teamer only, an emergency running back only. Tape says otherwise, but that's okay. Kyle doesn't like him. It's what it is. He'll be here for 4 years, and he'll go start somewhere else. That's what's going to happen, sadly. I do not see Mason getting more touches. I hope I'm wrong there. Now, the issue with, okay, you asked Pearsall. Well, Pearsall gets some playing time. Where are they going to put him? Because if you put him, right, there's three wide receiver positions for the 49ers. There's X, that's Ayuk. There's Z, that's Debo. There's slot, that's Jennings. The most snaps that he could get is at the Debo role. You put him at Z, Ricky Pearsall, and he could do that role. I think he could play slot and he could play Z. That's the most snaps because Debo will go play running back and he'll take a couple snaps off very consistently. That slot role is 100% Juwan Jennings. You know, gets 22 snaps a game, but that's it. So he's not taking slot snaps off because he's only getting 22 a game. Whereas you look at Debo, Debo's getting like 45. Ayuk's getting like 51. So if you're looking for snaps and the most like, look, let's start to get this dude 10 to 15 snaps a game. The Z role for Pearsall, that's going to get the most snaps. That's going to get the most snaps. And that's why I hope with Jacob Cowing, they put him behind Ayuk in the X role. That's where Ronnie Bell has been. But Ronnie Bell can't get separation, can't stretch the field vertically. He's tough as hell. But I would shift. I want to shift everything personally. I want Ronnie Bell, the backup slot. I want Ricky Pearsall, the backup Debo. And I want Jacob Cowing to be the backup X. Chris Conley. I like Chris Conley way more than I like Ronnie Bell, even though they're on the opposite spectrum of, you know, their rosters. And maybe Conley, I know Conley's already played the X and the Z role. So I don't know where you want to put him, but I want Conley on this roster over Ronnie Bell personally. But I want to see if Ronnie Bell can do that slot job because his toughness, and I think that suits his the best. That gives you three young wide receivers developing for the future. Chris Conley's not a part of the future. Maybe he has a year or two left. But as far as immediate impact early, I'd rather Conley get snaps over Bell. That's just me. So where do these guys go? That and Kyle Shanahan, oh, well, we see he could play a myriad of positions. Versatility is really important to us. And no. Is he going to take Z snaps? Is he going to take X snaps? So rookie minicamp, which is coming up very soon, where are they taking snaps? Press them. And so whoever the media people are, ask that damn question. Are they taking Z or X snaps? Oh, well, we're trying them at a... No. Where did he take the most snaps today, Kyle? I understand you're playing lots of spots. Where did Ricky Pearsall take the most snaps today? Like, those are the types of questions. And once we get those, then we'll know. So again, Pearsall should be Z backup behind Debo. Ronnie Bell should be slot backup behind Jennings. Cowing should be slot backup behind Brandon Ayuk. Once I get that answer, Bobo, then I'll tell you the answer. Whoever's the backup to Debo is going to get the most snaps. Debo has to take plays off with the way he plays. That wide back role, he has to. So whoever's the backup there, they're going to get the most snaps. Now, maybe you rotate a little bit more, which more teams do. We don't rotate very often. We've been very top heavy at the wide receiver position. So I would like it to go back to that personally. I hope that makes sense. I love this, man. Right here, Paul. No Isaac Guerrero slander, JC. He's the only one I got right on the UK Faithful Mock Draft Show. I like him. He was my highest value pick as far as where I ranked on my big board and where the Niners took him. That was the quote-unquote best value pick just from my big board to where they got drafted. I like him. I have a difficult time seeing how he gets snaps. And maybe you just redshirt him. Yeah, right here, Paul says, you know, it's all. Oh, I know. There's nothing Paul can say that upset me, man. That dude's freaking pure joy. He's the best, man. And if you haven't subscribed to, you know, the 49er Faithful UK show, please go do so. Go subscribe. They are the best of the best of the best. Oscar, my man. Appreciate you, Oscar. Got your stuff coming in the mail, man. I'm sending it out tomorrow. Had family in town, all that stuff. But anyway, all the people that won stuff on the draft live show, that's going out tomorrow. I've got them all signed and dated with addresses with the people that shared their addresses, so I can send those out. That's going out soon. So stay tuned for that, brother. He says, you know, Isaac Guerrero gives me AP vibes. Woo! Measurables are similar, and he's a single cut back. Yeah, he's one of the most athletic running backs in the history to come out as far as the RAS, the relative athletic score, which is a cool measurement. He's big. He's fast. He's shifty on testing drills. He's not shifty on tape. But like you said, one cut. I wish he could. He rounds. Once that speed gets going, he's a little bit of a rhino, Isaac Guerrero. But, yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of tape on him. Dude's had 3 100-yard games in his career. Sat behind Braylon Allen for 4 years at Wisconsin, transferred to get his shot. Played well. Played well. But we got to see it, man. AP vibes, that's, I don't see the violence in his play style. Talking about Isaac. AP was violent on and off the field. Anyway. Yeah, we'll see. I hope you're right. I hope he's the best running back of all time. That's the thing. You hope each one of these guys is the best player ever. Just because of a preconceived draft take, you don't write these guys off. And I'm not saying that's what anybody here is doing. Right here, yeah, observe natural. He says, as if Kyle would use any other running backs. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All highlight videos look great. That's 100% true. I'm rather we work out with Debo and Ayuk. Long term, I'm with you. You want to keep them. But I think Kyle has seen what happened when Debo got hurt. Offense stagnated. What happened when Debo got banged up in the Super Bowl? Offense stagnated. Wouldn't you rather have an insurance plan? 49ers. A new season sponsor should be like Allstate or something. You know what I mean? Like, hey, here's your good insurance policy. Jacob Cowing, Ricky Pearsall, Isaac Guerrero. That's kind of what we're doing it. And so, yeah, you can take that for what you want. Right here, John. What's up, John? Appreciate you, man. He says, do you envision more 4 and 5 wide receiver sets? I would like that. And you list all the wide receivers, Ayuk, Debo, Ricky Pearsall. You know, all these different guys, Jacob Cowing, all these dudes on the field at the same time. I don't see Kyle doing that. I wouldn't mind seeing some of it. I like putting it out there on tape so teams got to deal with it and seeing. You know, if you want to see what Brock Purdy's going to do, let's see. You throw it out there in practice, you can try it. I don't think Kyle will do it, though. And you saw the transition in McVay, who is a little more adapting. He doesn't believe in his scheme as much as Kyle does because McVay's scheme is Kyle's scheme. And then McVay went to the Rams, and it was talked about in the play callers, Jordan Rodriguez, who did an awesome job, the Athletic, where they were interviewing McVay, and he was like, man, he's like, I want 21 and 12 personnel, but we're sitting there in training camp, and Cooper Kupp's on the sideline. And I'm like, man, Cooper Kupp's way better than my tight end, too. He's way better than my fullback. Cooper Kupp, like, he's like, we got to get this dude on the field more. So that's when he made the transition to way more 11 personnel instead of 12, two tight ends. And so he shifted his, you know, first year as a coach and never looked back. We're talking about McVay. Now, is Ricky Pearsall going to be Cooper Kupp? That's pretty hard to say. Is Jacob Cowing going to be one of those guys? We'll see there. Oscar, Pearsall needs to link up with Jerry. I agree. But I think that stopped with the AJ Jenkins thing because that like totally ruined that dude's career and perception. So I wouldn't be shocked if they said, look, dude, Jerry, stop inviting these dudes to go get embarrassed and run with you or turn you down, whatever. right here, Chapman. No dating advice from Hill. Thank you. Appreciate that. Sounds like Bobo. Sounds like they might be considering signing Jamal Adams. I hate that. I do not want Jamal Adams around this team. I mean, he's athletic, special teams, cool. Where do you put him? He's not a safety. You put him at linebacker, maybe. Special teams. I do not want Jamal Adams here. I can't stand that man. Can't stand that person. He's a terrible human being. And yeah, I said that. Terrible human being. He is. You go check it out for yourself. He'll let you know. You don't attack players' wives or press people's wives. You don't do that, man. It would just, come on. Let's see here. people liked or hated that jokes. My jokes about off the stuff. Right here, David says, you know, I think Puni will get most snaps his rookie year from this draft class. Out of all the rookies, David says, Puni might get the most. They said they're putting him at guard. So let's do this. Let's go backwards. You know, we've done some Pearsall. Let's talk Dominic Puni and kind of, again, we got tape up on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel right now. Full game broken down on him. You got a lot more coming. Here's my positives and negatives on Dominic Puni, just the film. Footwork screams guard. He played left tackle predominantly, especially last year. It was almost all left tackle. 20 snaps he played outside, but they do tackle over at Kansas. So he played left tackle, and you'll see this in the tape if you watch it. They'll do tackle over where they'll overload the right side, where it goes center, guard, right tackle, left tackle, tight end, then slot tight end. It's just an overload student body right type play. And so you get to see him move to the right side some, which is fun. And he's so dang athletic. He's played mostly left guard and left tackle, but I think he can play right guard. So where do you put Puni? I think you put him at left guard behind Banks. And if Banks returns to his pre-injury self before turf toe last year, the first month of the season, that's your left guard, Aaron Banks. But Aaron Banks put up 10 bad weeks, maybe more if you count the playoffs, after his injury. Played injured. Got to give him props for that. Aaron Banks played bad. Terrible, in fact. And he re-injured his toe twice, or for the second time the season. It only got worse after that. So I think you put Puni behind Banks to start training camp. And if Banks doesn't return to Banks, pre-Banks injuries level, go get him, Puni. You're stepping in, buddy. Footwork screams guard. He crossed himself over foot-wise 5 or 6 times in one game. What do I mean by that? You see, like, the kick slide and how they move their feet in pass protection of offensive linemen? He's pretty good at that for 1 to 2 counts. But then sometimes he'll literally cross over, like karaoke style, if you've ever done... Uh-oh. That's awesome. That's the first time I've ever done that one on the show. What's up, guys? That one, somebody cut that so I can post that on the bloopers. That was awesome. Sorry if that was loud. But if you've ever done like the karaoke where you cross your feet over like in warmups, like every football team does it, whatever, he'll do that in pass protection. You can't do that in the NFL at tackle. Now, what's crazy with Dominic Puni is that he'll cross his feet over and win the rep. And so you're grading it, and you're like, whoa, red flag, terrible footwork. That's awful. But he won, and he regathered himself. His hips, his athleticism, his recovery ability, off the charts. That's so cool. So that's one negative. But also, man, if we can just get his footwork down to where, you know, he's not crossing himself over, that would be incredible, because we just got to polish his footwork. And then we don't have to worry about these red flag issues. That's an easy fix. And we're talking about that happened like 5 or 6 times a game on 60-plus snaps. So that's not really, yeah, that's not an issue. Now, he gets way too tall. 6'5", 313. He's tall already. You know, he's left tackle size. I'm going to play a clip real quick. I'm about to sneeze. I don't want to sneeze on air, especially after knocking this over. And that's okay. But look, if you want to support the show, this is the best way to do it. I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going. But the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme. Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the 49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So back to Dominic Puni. And again, all those clips, full breakdown on Puni, full breakdown on Renardo Green, full breakdown on Ricky Pearsall. And we're going to have the entire draft class and the entire draft of free class broken down. I'm probably going to go through two tapes on each of the draft picks first, two full game tapes, not highlights, full game tape, all 22 coaching tapes up there. Then I'll get to the undrafted free agents. That's the plan. And on top of that, we have our Zoom hangout meeting coming up next week where we get to talk about the draft and how you feel about it. That's going to be over at the49ersrush.com. Now back to Dominic Puni. Gets way too tall. Way too tall. Way too tall, too much. He just stands straight up, and he's 6'5". Now, here's what's crazy. Again, I just talked about how he crossed his feet over. That's a huge negative, but he doesn't get beat on it. Stands up too tall. That's a major red flag because you'll lose leverage. However, his anchoring ability may be the best thing about him. Usually when you stand tall, think Mike McGlinchey. You get mowed back into the quarterback. Dominic Puni doesn't do that. His anchor ability, A+. It's elite. So, again, not necessarily a negative, but, man, when you play too high, that is bad because you lose leverage. He doesn't. Will that translate to the NFL and moving inside against defensive tackles? Going from Big 12 defensive ends to NFL defensive tackles, you got to correct some things. So, again, very correctable. Man, knee bend over waist bend every single time. That's kind of what he's got to translate to. And I'm excited about that. His frame's elite. That dude is wide. You see him. He's got very wide shoulders, very wide hips, very wide stance. He's big to get around. And nobody did it. Zero quarterback hits, zero sacks this past year. His frame is elite. And so that's what he did grab outside the shoulder pads. Like, you want to grab inside. Like inside the breastplate of the shoulder pad, that's your aiming point, or on the outside of the shoulder. That's what Trent Williams, his aiming point is right on the outside of the shoulder. But in front, the problem with Puni is that he grabs over top and grabs the back of the shoulder pad way too often. That's something that's got to be kind of corrected just a little bit. That's one of the things I want to see change. So that's my Dominic Puni takeaways. He's fun, man. It's just where, right? You know you got a player. You know you do. And that's great. You can say you play all five positions. But we've seen those guys come and go in the past and not work out. Let him stay in a position where he will be successful. And if you're not planning on bringing back Aaron Banks after this year, you just keep him at left guard. Just keep him there. Very similar to what you did with Banks and Lakin Tomlinson. He's just the next guy up. Let him get comfortable. Please, please, please. Let him get comfortable. Now let's talk about our second round pick. We're going backwards. Renardo Green. Whew. We did the Florida State versus LSU tape, which probably is best tape. Let's be honest. He's guarding Malik Nabers and man coverage, press man with no safety help. He's guarding Brian Thomas Jr. with no safety help almost the entire freaking game. And guess what? Dude gave up 3 catches for 28 yards and had 1 interception, a game-winning interception against a Heisman Trophy quarterback. That dude answered the call. There couldn't be better tape out there for him. So if you want to see the ceiling, go watch, Florida State versus LSU. Gosh, at his best versus the best. That's all there. It was awesome. Neighbors hated playing against him. He couldn't stand it. And my favorite part of the whole thing, they go down to the goal line. I think they're on like the 5 or the 6. First down, there's a penalty that got them down there. LSU's offense. And Renardo Green is matched up with Neighbors 3 plays in a row, man coverage, inside the goal line. They targeted Neighbors 3 times. 0 catches. One-on-one, fade route, no. Inside curl route, no. Quick outside, kind of like quick out, no. The dude held his own. So much so, The next time LSU was in the red zone, they ran the ball three consecutive times, scored a touchdown there. But he pushed them away from what they wanted to do. And yeah, Neighbors and Brian Thomas both had big games, but not against Renardo Green. All their success came whenever they were on the other side of the field. And they kind of shadowed Renardo versus Neighbors a little bit. Then they just kept him on the defensive left side. So I'm not sure what the mentality there or the coaching game plan was. But Renardo Green did his job and got that interception in the fourth quarter versus Neighbors to seal the win. Absolutely incredible. And the whole time I'm watching him, I'm like, dude, I've seen this guy play before. He's D'Amador Lenore. Like, they're the same player. Now, Renardo Green's a better athlete, pedigree, competition level. Like, it's all there. It's all there. Maybe not competition level, Florida State versus Oregon, but I'm telling you, where did D'Amador Lenore go? Fifth round, right? Where did Renardo Green go? Second round. Doesn't mean he's better. The ceiling is better. The ceiling is better. It took Demo a year to get in. We thought Demo was on the bubble after his rookie year because he never got playing time. No. Demo is him, and I think he's going to be around for a long time. Renardo Green has higher upside. Can he do that? That's a whole nother question. But I'm telling you guys, man, Renardo Green he's physical. He fits us to a T. And man, he's fun. Now, negative, he grabs at the top of the route. He grabs high. Jersey pulls off the shoulder pads. You see it on tape. Like, he's literally snagging at the top. He got called for it once, I think. Should have got called for it more. You got to correct that. And that, you see that in tape. That's just, man, it's funny because I remember I was coaching and we had a kid that was all district, you know, he was awesome. Went to a D1 school, whatever else. And one day he goes, man, he's like, coach, he's like, man, I was all district, all this stuff, but like, you're always corrected by tape. He's like, I don't get it. I'm like, dude, you can always be better. Like, I can find holes in anybody's game. Any coach can. It's not like you're a bad player. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying, correct this. It could be better. It could be better. That's the thing about football. There is something you can do better on every play. Jerry Rice could be better. How do we know that? Because right after Jerry Rice won the Super Bowl and the plane landed back in San Francisco, what did Jerry Rice do? Went and set up cones, turned on the practice lights, and freaking practiced slant routes, which he's the best slant route runner ever. Just won Super Bowl MVP. What's he do? Goes to practice slant routes. And I think, you know, I'm not trying to be nitpicky, and I hope this episode's not coming off negative. I feel way more confident and happy and excited about these draft picks the more I get to know them. I'm not trying to be negative. So I hope that's not coming across. What's up, Daryl? Glad you're here, man. What's up, Mosquito Killer? Glad you guys are here. So I really liked Renardo Green. His tape is the easiest to digest. And what I mean by that is it's just clear. It's a carbon copy of what you want at the next level. There's not a lot of, well, this, can he this? Can't. No. He is. He's there. You don't have to translate what he does in college to what it will do in the NFL. No. That is just easy. Yeah, right here. Faithful, grateful. Green stays in phase, doesn't panic. 100%. Plays with a lot of confidence and does not panic. Well said. Right here. You think this is Ward's last year? I do, sadly. I don't want it to be. But I think if the 49ers are going to keep a player, Charvarius Ward or D'Amador Lenore, one, I think Demo's cheaper. Two, I think Demo has way more versatility. And three, I think Charvarius Ward wants money. He's already got his ring. He won it with the Chiefs. So, like, he's got a longer sustained career and resume, and he should be paid more. And so I don't want these guys to leave, obviously. But I don't think there's any way possible the 49ers are going to pay two corners. I don't see that taking place. And look at all the free agents that they signed. Every one of them plays outside corner. Outside corner. Daryl Luter, outside corner. Renardo Green can play both. Demo can play both. Chase Lucas is just inside. Isaac Yiadom can play both. But they said they want him at outside. So for me, the versatility and the cheaper contract, that means Demo. I think you keep one. I really, really do. I hope they keep one. Bobo, appreciate the super chat. We're number one, but who's number two in the NFC West next season? The Rams were number two last year. And I think I'm going to stick with the Rams. The Cardinals closed some gaps, but Kyler Murray is Kyler Murray. That coaching staff is that coaching staff. We'll have to see how that goes. But Matt Stafford, if he's healthy, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, all that stuff, their offensive line's better. I think the Rams are. I really, really do. Now, Seattle has a good coach and a good scheme defensively, finally. However, they still got Geno Smith. I don't think Geno Smith is a great quarterback against this Niners defense. It's like the worst possible matchup for him. They didn't really do anything. They went and got Sam Howell as a backup, which is a good backup. Sam Howell is a great backup. Yeah, I'm going Rams. I'm going Rams pretty big there. Yeah, I'm going Rams big time. I think it's 49ers in a tier by themselves. I think it's Rams in that second tier by themselves. And I think Seahawks 3, Arizona Cardinals 4, they're a little closer to each other than the other two. Doesn't mean I'm right. That's what I would say. But the Seahawks long-term, if they got a quarterback, if they had a quarterback, I'd say Seahawks. I just don't think they do. Not one that could compete with the Niners. Not one that could compete with the Niners. There we go. Lambs. What's up, Big Papa? How you doing, brother? Right here. Surf. Green will need to clean up his hand grabbing. Yep. Tends to reach out and inside. Yeah, he does. He uses his hands, which I like. Just don't grab. Don't grab. That's the thing. No need to grab cloth. And if you do grab, grab at the waist. Grab low. Rest eyes are high. You grab high, everybody sees. You grab low, hand fighting. Literally grab the belt, man. Grab the hips. That's cool. Grab the pants. They don't stretch. Jersey stretches. Not like the pants do. Don't grab jerseys. Yeah, that's what we got to see. Daryl, appreciate the super chat, my friend. I remember mentioning Mason Plyne to you pre-draft. You sure as heck did, Daryl. Did I listen? I did not. Hats off to you, man. Yeah, you're the man. Or right now I'm seeing 403 people in this chat. I put all 403 ahead of me. and Daryl, you might be at the top, man. Yeah, I was wrong on that. I'm excited to break down some more film on Mason Plyne, the tight end, because it's a huge position of need, and whoever's going to grab that, it needs to happen. It needs to happen. David says, you know, Howell will be their starter at some point. Geno's no good. Geno's good, just not versus us. He's efficient, gets a ball out quick, can throw the deep ball. It's just not a good matchup. The NFL is a matchup league. His matchup against the 49ers does not compute. Doesn't compute. Oh, what's up, man? He says, what do you think of Drake Nugent? I love this. The Michigan guy. It was funny because I hated breaking down all that stupid. I hated breaking down Michigan tape so much. I'm going to do a full breakdown of him. I didn't like him near as much as, you know, I started his tape and we started our initial write-up. And this is a mistake on my part. We had 267 players in our draft report and I ran out of time. And so the guys that I had in my first round through, seventh round or undrafted free agent, I deleted. And Drake Nugent was one of those guys for me. I was like seventh round priority free agent. And that's where he went. But because I didn't want incomplete draft profiles in the, you know, the 49ers rush book, I deleted it. Probably not smart, but that's what happened. But I am excited to break it down. You know, he's part of a bigger unit, much more physical type center than what we're used to. Again, I could see them say, oh, he could play guard for us. But shoot, center's a need. And Nick Sakel did not cut it. Last year, Corey Luciano was basically two snaps away from being a starting center for the 49ers. I think you move over Feliciano and then maybe even Ben Bartsch and then it would have been him. So yeah, we need some depth there. I like Corey Luciano, but we'll see what happens. Maybe somebody could step up and do that. But appreciate you, coach. You're the best, man. Glad to see you back, man. Right here. Chris says, you think Dominique Puny takes the right guard spot? I don't think so, because here's my 49ers offensive line ranks. Trent Williams by himself in that gold standard elite all pro level. The second best offensive lineman we have is John Feliciano by a considerable margin. He's at right guard. Now, maybe, hear me out, and I wouldn't be mad about this, you move Feliciano to center over Jake Brindle, then you can move Dominique Puni into right guard. Kyle ain't going to do that. Should do that. Kyle won't. So if Feliciano's playing right guard, I am putting Dominique Puni opposite of Feliciano, period. Feliciano's a stud. I mean, that is beyond starter level snaps. Like, he was good. And, you know, we all talk about the Drake Greenlaw injury in the Super Bowl. When Feliciano got hurt, that's where all the terrible things started happening on the right side. So if Feliciano's playing right guard, Chris, no. I want Puni playing left guard, which he has way more. He started 13 games at left guard in college. That's an easy transition going from left tackle to left guard. He's already played it. But I want Puni opposite of Feliciano. That's what I want. Because Puni's not taking Feliciano's job this year. No. JC, what happened to the John and Wayne show? Oh, we just kind of took a break. You know, we're doing a show together Monday. Me and Wayne and Johnny Dill. So excited about that. That's going to be Monday morning. Johnny Dill, Wayne Breezy, and myself. It's just whenever the draft comes out, I've got to get through all my draft notes. And I don't like doing as many co-shows because I got to get through all this stuff. And so, but yeah, the John and Wayne show is always going to be a thing, especially during the season. It's just more fun. But yeah, so that dude's recording like 3 to 4 times a day. He's crushing it, man. Very proud of that dude. He's just a killer. So yeah, the John and Wayne show, never going away, never going away. What's up, Eric? He said, CC made me clean my room, sitting here listening to you, at the mess. Oh, I love it, man. Room cleaned. That's what's up. 49ers rush. We'll help you clean your room. That's what it is. What's up, Salty? Niners picks seem to have all the physical tools, but need coaching. That's a good problem to have. If you have good coaching, the issue I have, defensively, we've developed a lot of talent. Offensively, especially offensive line-wise, I don't think we have. What player has gotten better since joining us offensively? Maybe you could say Colton McKivitz, but what do you have to grade from before? Burford started out awesome. We thought he was going to be the starting right guard for a decade. He's gotten worse. Brindle, whatever. Banks, gotten worse. How much of that's the injury? So in certain positions, wide receiver, we could develop wide receivers. We have developed wide receivers. So yeah, I do agree there. What's up, Sin? How we doing, man? That's awesome. Yeah, we'll see. That's the rough one. That's a rough one. Now, here's what's exciting. The schedule release right around the corner. And you know what that means? 49ers Rush Road Trip will be back again this year. Man, I'm excited.
Going to 49ers games is awesome. But what's even better than that is going to 49ers games with the faithful, joining the community. And we got you covered. The 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its fourth year of bringing the faithful together. Night before parties, tailgates the day of. We got you covered. Go get your tickets at 49ersrushroadtrip.com.
Now, if we look at the away game schedule, which is what we're going to be our primary focus this year. Last year, we did all the home tailgates, got into it with the 49ers. I ain't fighting with nobody. That's not who I am. But listen to the away game schedule. I want you guys to tell me who you're most excited to go to. What road game are you most excited? Now, I'm leaving off the division rivals. We'll be at those ones. But we're traveling to Miami. Now, this is where the 49ers are traveling. I always got to be careful because if they schedule a game on Christmas or back-to-back road trips, I can't do all those. So I'm not sure which ones were coming out. I know which ones I want to do. But of the five main road games, Miami, Tampa Bay, Buffalo, Green Bay, and Minnesota, you know, obviously, you know, Seattle and Arizona and LA, we go there every year. Of those five road games, which one are you most excited about? I want you to throw that in the chat. Because, look, we're setting up. We're doing something a little different this year. 49ersrushroadtrip.com, that's where you're going to get all your stuff. But we're partnering with another agency to try to build packages out so that, yeah, we've got the parties the night before and the tailgate. But I want to party. I want to sit with you guys. At home, it's hard because everybody's got their own season tickets, which is cool. But we're trying to set something up where it's a full package, where you get stay at the same hotel, covers our night before, covers your tailgate, and covers game tickets, where we try to get game tickets close. That's one of the things we're working on now as we speak. So just trying to always increase the community as much as possible. Now, getting away game tickets all together next to each other in the same row, that's not going to happen. That's almost impossible nowadays. But close to each other, to where you're always around and we can get together and we can talk at halftime, things like that. That's what we're trying to set up, which I'm really, really excited about. And so that's going to be fun. So we're working on that. When the schedule comes out, here's what happens. This is the process, right? Schedule comes out. I run to Miss Chapman, like I'm little tiny Tim, right? And I'm just like, here's the schedule, my lady. Which games will you allow me to go? And then she'll say, okay, you can't do this one. It's my birthday or whatever. And then once she's done with that, then I do the, please, may I have some more? And sometimes she'll let me get more. Sometimes she won't. But once I get the okay from the wifey and the dates all work out, then we come out. So when the schedule comes out, and listen to me, please listen to me. When the schedule comes out is the worst time to buy tickets. It's the worst time, ladies and gentlemen. It is the highest of the high of what they cost. I am all for saving you guys money. Do not buy your game tickets when the schedule comes out. Don't do it. Don't do it. You buy hotels and airlines whenever the schedule comes out. Don't buy game tickets. Okay, I'm trying to save you some money, but if you want to travel with us, I'm thinking it's going to take us probably a week after the schedule's announced to finalize all the details for the packages to be up on 40irishrush.com. But yeah, so anyway, that's where we're at. Let's see what you got. We got the East Coast game, says Marcus, Tampa and Buffalo. Love it. Miami. I love Miami, man. Is the only Florida stadium I'm missing. Which one? I'm curious. Which one you're missing? Because we got two games in Florida. We got Tampa Bay, Miami. There we go. He says Miami. Hard Rock's a fun stadium. I hate the location. But what we're talking about setting up for the Miami game is a party on the beach in Miami. We're going to tailgate on the beach, and we're going to bus into the stadium. And so we're going to do a tailgate in Miami Beach, and then we're going to bus to the stadium and then bus back to the beach after the game. That's what we're currently setting up. Which I think would be really, really cool. David says, Minnesota, we owe them a beatdown from last season. Awesome stadium, really boring town. But we threw a great party there. We had like 250 people there. That was awesome. I would be shocked. Last time Miami was on Monday night, and the town closed down on Miami, on Monday, which is weird with Minnesota. But anyway, we'll see what that looks like. Eric says, hope you go to Buffalo. I want to. If it's a late December game and traveling cross country, that one I don't know, because I would hate to get stuck and not be able to get there to host the party. And like, that's a concern of mine. So I'm hoping that Buffalo game's early, because I got some really good friends out there that I really, really want to go see. But if it's late December, I don't know if I would be able to swing that one. Brock Purdy versus Josh Allen should be interesting. Yeah, two diametrically opposed quarterbacks and how they play, their strengths, their weaknesses, all that stuff. Bobo says Minnesota was voted best stadium. My vote would go to the Raiders stadium, personally. If I could vote for one stadium as my favorite, the Raiders was probably my favorite. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see. And Jedi says, no cap, sounds kind of fun. Man, we throw good parties. Like, we're going to have a good time. And yeah, Uncle Salty, you know I'm coming to Seattle to see you. Seattle and Arizona are a must every year because the chapters, they're just the best of the best. And so we will always be in Seattle and Arizona. LA's the opposite. Not saying they don't have great chapters. They do. It's just they all like to do their own thing. And so they've got like six LA parties with six LA chapters, and none of them talk to each other. So we stay away from that one. But if there was a spot in LA where we could get people together, that was good location, and that'd be cool. We throw parties at Hermosa Beach before, but man, people complained about, you know, that's a rough one in and of itself. But yeah, we'll see there. Right here, I got a lot of emails on this. The Trey Lance not getting picked up the fifth-year option. And I was like, why are people acting like that's a big deal? Like, the fifth-year option for quarterbacks is like $15 million. Like, Jordan Love's fifth-year contract didn't even get picked up. And so, like, I don't know. Like, that was crazy to me why everybody thought that was like news or like, oh, Trey Lance. Like, dude, that dude had zero chance of getting his fifth year option pick. You know, Fields didn't get it. Mac didn't get it. The only quarterback that got it was Trevor Lawrence. Like, that was it. And no quarterback in 2022, the year after, got it or will get it. They're all terrible. So, like, yeah, I don't know. I thought that was, why would you pick up a $15 million contract for a backup quarterback? Like, even Jordan Love didn't get that. And he's the quarterback of the future. So I wasn't too shocked, to be honest with you. But I thought that was a known. I thought that everybody knew that. And so, I don't know. People were really upset and like, or not upset, but just like, ha, ha, ha. And, all, and I'm just like, whoa, that's weird energy from somebody that like didn't cause any problems. It was like always like a stand-up dude for the locker room. I don't like rooting against people that are, you know, quote-unquote good people. And I consider Trey Lance to be that. But I didn't think, I mean, if Trey Lance was on the free market as a free agent, how much is he going to get? Sam Darnold money, a little less probably, but you know, that's $7 million, $5 million, like $15 million, I think is the fifth year contract. So I didn't think that was even going to be a thing, but yeah, I'm curious. I thought he was going to wind up in Minnesota this year. I thought that would be a draft day trade, but Jerry Jones sticking with him and we'll see what happens because Dak, they're not re-signing Dak. It's the last year of Dak's deal. That's curious to me how that's going to work out. We'll have to see what happens there. Now, before I walk away, I got more Pearsall takes. Yeah, so let's get to some more Ricky Pearsall, who we started with. Let's end with it. This is a Pearsall, you know, start and finish ham sandwich episode. So the dude is a gamer. The dude is just a gamer. Whenever I did the tape against South Carolina, I looked at his stat line, you know, and I was like, okay, I want a heavy Pearsall game to break down first for everybody if we drafted him. He had like 10 catches, 100 plus yards, touchdown, whatever else, right? So I was like, all right, this is a heavy Pearsall game. And we started the first play, and we go all the way through the end of the fourth quarter. And it was a close game, came down to the wire. His best plays, because I kept saying like, man, how is this dude getting 10 catches? We're at halftime, he's got like three. We're in the fourth quarter, all right, he's got like six. Like, how's this dude going to get to 10 catches? Well, the fourth quarter came. And it's like, all right. When the game was on the line, you know, Florida was down the whole game for the most part. South Carolina was up. But that fourth quarter came, and Florida has a terrible quarterback. Like, and I'm not trying to, like, throw shade. I don't want to put his name out there. But, like, it's not good quarterback play. It's bad. He's an athletic quarterback and doing the best he can, whatever. Won the game. But it was just like, gosh, throw the ball to Pearsall. Throw the ball to Pearsall. Pearsall's open. Pearsall's open. It just kept going away from him. But in the fourth quarter, when the game was on the line, there was like a third and 15 play, and they didn't get it. And then there was a fourth and like 15 play. It might have been fourth and 12. Fourth quarter, down like six, or I think they were down 4 points, whatever. They had to get a touchdown. Field goal wasn't going to work. And, I mean, Pearsall just made this freak of a play. You know, to get the first down, keep the drive going. Then he hits this awesome post route to win the game, walk off almost touchdown. Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. He is a gamer. He's a gamer. I loved it. Like, I want players, and I hate Michael Irvin just because he's Cowboys, but I like Michael Irvin the longer his timeline goes on. I think he's finally realized he doesn't have to, like, always talk about himself and always defend how great he was. And now he's like not taking himself as seriously. And so, like, I'm not a Michael Irvin guy. I was at the game when he first came back for the cocaine suspension, which was funny. Everybody was throwing like Ziploc bags full of salt on the stadium or on the, I didn't do that, but I thought it was funny. But anyway, Michael Irvin would always do the big time players make big time plays at big time moments. And I believe that. If you're the dude that shrinks when the game's on the line, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. Pearsall is him. When the game never gets too big for him and he shows up in those freaking moments, that is something that I believe in. When things get tough, who are you? Right? My axiom as a coach, and I would harp on this all the time. Football reveals character. Who are you? It's overtime. On the line. Time to run gassers. Practice is over. Everybody else has quit. Look over there. Everybody's leaving school. You want to go home? You want the easy way out? Go ahead. You can walk off this field right now, but you ain't coming back. I want people that want to fight, and right now is the time. And so whenever you got into those games in the fourth quarter and overtime, who are you? Ricky Pearsall is him. That dude answers. When they called him, probably one of my favorite things of all the draft conversations and whatever, they called him to tell him he was drafted by the Niners. And he said, "Coach, you got a workhorse." Woo! Oh, that's what's up, man. That is what's up. I was excited about that. Surf says, "Did you see Steve Smith review of Ricky? Smith had him at 14 overall. That's impressive." I saw that and I was like, man, Steve Smith likes Steve Smith type guys. Ricky Pearsall is not a Steve Smith type guy. We started this episode talking about how he's soft throughout the route, the toughest player ever. And I have no problem saying this. I have secondhand experience. One of my coaches that I worked with for a long time, shout out to Shep, one of the best human beings I've ever been around. He's a DC now, I think in Mansfield, Texas, but whatever. I asked him one time, I was like, man, who, you know, he was a DB, high level, you know, whatever. And I asked him, I was like, man, who's the toughest player you ever played against in all your years? He was a cornerback. And he's like, dude, it was simple. Steve Smith, that dude just manhandled me every single play. Yeah, I don't think that's, but anyway, Steve Smith was the answer. Like the toughest mamba jamba. He would punch your own teammate in the face. And that's just who he is now. And so I get it, but like, I love that he's getting the endorsement from guys like CJ Stroud. What does CJ Stroud want? He wants horizontal separation. You look at Tank Dell, you look at Stephon Diggs, horizontal separation. That is his go-to. CJ Stroud loves Pearsall. Steve Smith loves Pearsall. Like, he is a flavor that certain guys, it's what they want. The separation, the gamer, he catches everything. You know, one of the things that stood out to me most when watching Pearsall was his catch radius. Like, okay, 6 foot, cool, but that vertical and the way he contorts his body, he's not your power forward, post up, go get the ball. He's not that. That's not what he does. But catch radius is off the charts with this guy. He had a terrible quarterback in Florida. Here we go. I'm going to show you a clip real quick. I'll let the clip speak for itself. Fakes to the inside. Boom. Breaks to the outside. That's a lot of separation. Ball's way behind him. Nice catch. You don't want to stop your momentum. You want the ball in front. Plucks the ball naturally. Fights, gets upfield. But again, you can kind of see. Like, he's not a lower your shoulder kind of guy. That's not who he is. We talk about, like, catch radius and arm length and all that stuff. But whenever you're somebody like this, like, think about all those Debo crossing routes that are drop passes because they're not perfect. Well, right here, you've got the separation. You've got the catch radius and the fact that, man, look at this dude twisting his body like crazy. Secures the ball very, you know, some of the best hands in this draft class. 2% drop rate. Whew. It's fun to see because he catches everything. He catches everything, and he's very flexible, which is, you know, that's the three cone and kind of all the different things that he could do there. And so, yeah, look, man, I love this. Surf says, I love Pearsall. And shout out to my man Antonio. You know, he said Pearsall was one of his favorite wide receivers. I was like, I didn't like him too much. I get it. It makes sense. You're building around Brock Purdy. This is a Brock Purdy type wide receiver guy. Where he lines up, that's the question. That is the question. So I'm excited about that. This has been a fun episode. I was struggling today. I ain't going to lie. Sometimes it's harder to hit that record button than others. It's always fun. And I love this job. I love this job. But sometimes I think I'm still pretty worn out from the event in LA, which was a blast. And, you know, recording for all those hours and the draft book. It's just like, whoom. I really appreciate you guys. Today was a lot of fun. Let me know what you thought about today's show. And, you know, I love those conversations. You email us anytime, 49ersRushPodcast@gmail.com, Instagram, Twitter, you name it. Just type in 49ers rush or John Chapman. We'll pull up. That's what's up. But we're going to keep bringing different stuff. The 49ersrush.com. Lots more breakdowns coming your way. Mustafa, that's next up, and I'm excited about him. You guys are the best. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.